of Peter, Peter's epistle. If you'll turn with us there. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the way of holiness? Man, I love holiness. It's getting kind of scarce, you know, but I still love it. The more scarce a commodity is, the more valuable it becomes. Sometimes when you start looking for holiness, sometimes it's like looking for that pork in those cans of pork and beans. Kind of hard to find. But what I like about it, when you do find it, you can always tell it from the beans. And when you find holiness, you can always tell it from the world. Amen? I love it. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, do you have it? Verse 9, here's what the writer says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Notice that. Who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. St. John chapter 9, very familiar portion of scripture here. St. John chapter 9. The Bible says in verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When He had thus spoken, He spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent." He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him, which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him," but He said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" And He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and washed. And I went and washed and I received my sight." Verse 24, the same chapter. "Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Praise the Lord. The Lord will help me for a little while. I want to preach on light, the master of darkness. Light, the master of darkness. You know, there is no knowledge, there is no discovery as great as spiritual enlightenment. All other experiences that you may experience in your lifetime are secondary compared to the day that a person comes out of spiritual darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sad truth is this, that it's hard to convince this world with all their modern technology, men and women with all of their degrees and diplomas and all of their abilities, it's hard to convince them that if they're not saved, they're in darkness, that they're blind and cannot see afar off. But Isaiah prophesied and said in Isaiah 60:2 that darkness would cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But that same prophet prophesied and said, the people that sat in darkness have seen great light. And them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, light has sprung up. Jesus is the light of the world. What I like about light is no matter how much darkness you bring, it cannot stop light from shining. Light is the master of darkness. Later on tonight, when it gets dark outside, you could turn all the lights out in this building, close those doors, and it would be dark in here. And if you brought a shovel in here, you could not shovel out the darkness. If you could get a backhoe in here, you could not backhoe it out. You could not bulldoze the darkness out. But if you light one small light, darkness leaps back, because light is the master of darkness. So in my text tonight, the Bible said, as Jesus passed by, with his disciples, they saw a man that was born blind. He had always been in darkness. He had never seen the light of day. It was dark in his world, and it always had been dark. But here Jesus confronts him as the disciple says, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. For I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Then Jesus gets right in front of that man in all of his darkness and says to him, I am the light of the world. I know it's dark where you're at, sir, but right here where I'm at, the light's shining. There's a small line that divides between darkness and light. Just stay with me, buddy. We're going to go somewhere here in a little while. Hallelujah. Jesus said, no matter how dark it is where you're at, the light's shining over here where I'm at, for I am the light of the world. And no matter how dark in sin this old world goes, those of us that know Jesus and have Jesus living in our hearts, we're in the light and we're not of the darkness. Even way back when the children of Israel were in Egypt and God sent the plague of darkness, so much darkness that it could be felt over there in the land of Goshen, in the Israelites' houses, they all had light in their dwellings. And you see, the darker it is, the brighter the light shines. And if you are a holiness Christian, don't you be ashamed of your light. For the Bible tells us that we are the light of the world. And I know it's getting darker every day, but we're shining brighter and brighter in the midst of this darkness. So Jesus said, come on over here and help me, son. Jesus said to this man, I am the light of the world. Then the Son of God does a strange thing. He spits on the ground. That's Jesus. I'm not talking about Brother Collins. I'm talking about Jesus. He spits on the ground and gets down and makes him some clay out of the spittle. I call it mud, but Jesus called it anointment. He said he anointed the blind man's eyes with the clay and said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He did not tell him that he'd receive his sight. He just said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And now we have a man who has spit and clay on his eyes. Oh, you say, well, did Jesus need that spit and clay to heal that blind man? Oh, no. Amen. This blind man needed the spit and clay. And you wonder why God brings you through all the processes He does to get you into obedience to Him. It's not that God needs those processes. It's you need those processes. So Jesus, y'all gonna hang with me no matter how I preach, long as I stand with the Word? Okay, here we go. Jesus anointed his eyes with spit and clay, made him no promises, but said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And now, he has to count the cost. People are gonna make fun of me. I've gotta go into an area I've never been before. I've got to go and people are going to mock me. So he's got to make up his mind. Is he willing, amen, to pay the price? Oh, I know what some of you are thinking right now, but I'm going to go ahead and let the hammer down right here. Some of you are thinking, oh, I sure would hate to have that spit and clay on my eyes. But I'd rather have that spit and clay on my eyes than some of this purple stuff and this pink stuff and this blue stuff and green stuff and black stuff and spider web looking stuff that some of the women are putting on their eyes. If Jesus was here tonight and I was having and I am having some trouble with my eyes and he wanted to put spit and clay, I'd say, go ahead, Lord, put spit and clay on my eyes and I'll throw these glasses away. I'm having a little bit of trouble with my hearing too. I'd say go ahead and put some spit and clay in my ears. A little bit of trouble with my right leg. I'd say, why don't you go ahead and put some down here on my leg? Amen. You got to realize that that is saliva coming out of the mouth of his deity from on high. Woo! So the man makes up his mind. I'll go to the pool. He starts toward the pool. Somebody probably hollers and hey, look at that crazy guy going there. He's got spit and clay on his eyes. Hey, man, you're crazy. That spit and clay is gonna ruin your eyes. He said, I ain't got nothing to lose. I can't see anyhow. Oh, hallelujah. And if you're here tonight and you're a sinner, the devil will tell you if you come to this altar, it'll ruin your reputation. Amen. And everybody here is wacko. You don't have nothing to lose by coming to this altar. You're on your way to hell tonight. Amen. You need to come and get right with God. Woo! Oh, I'm feeling like preaching tonight. Coming out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Now we must deal with the complexity of this text. This man could have said, I have been touched by the hand of Jesus. And no one could deny that. He could have said, I have been anointed. And no one could deny that. But I've got a question for you, Mr. Blind Man. If you've been touched by the hand of Jesus, and you've been anointed by Jesus, why are you still in the darkness? How come you're still blind? This tells me that you can be touched by Jesus. You can even be anointed by Jesus. But until you make up your mind to submit your will to the obedience of Jesus Christ and go all the way down to the pool in obedience to the Lord, you're going to remain in darkness. Hey, aren't y'all going to help me preach? All kinds of people come to my revivals. They come to my altars. They say, oh, praise God, I've been touched. I've been anointed. Well, I just got one question for you. The same question I got for the blind man. If you've been touched and you've been anointed, how come you're still the same old you? You're still a blind man. You're still the same man you've always been. And here you're telling me you've been touched and anointed. And I want to know something, ma'am. I want to know something, sir. You tell me I've been touched by Jesus. I've been anointed by Jesus. I want to know, why are you still the same old you? You still go to the same places you've always gone. You still use the same language you've always used. You still dress like you've always dressed. You still act like you've always acted. Something is wrong. It takes more than just being touched and anointed. You must be in obedience to the Lord and follow Him in full obedience. So he went on down to the pool. Woo! Finally made his way down there. Got to the water. Waded out in the water. Began to wash that mud and spit away from his eyes. All of a sudden, he opens his eyes. He'd smell the roses. But he never seen the roses. He's heard them talk about the blue sky, but he never seen the blue sky. He heard them talk about the sun, but now he can see. He'd heard the leaves rustling in the trees, and he'd smelt the green grass and the clover, but now he can see. Why? Because he obeyed the Lord. Hear the old prophet say, amen, to Saul. Hear Samuel say to Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. Hear me, amen. His neighbors, when they saw him, knew that he was not blind anymore. Amen. They said, is not this he that sat and begged? Amen. Some said, it's like him. But he said, I am he. And when you really get old time salvation down in your soul, your neighbors and the people you work with and those that you run around with before, they're going to know that something has taken place in your life. You're not the same old you, but you have been changed. And the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Woo. Not blind anymore. You come out of darkness into the marvelous light. We have people that come to my services, and there's no doubt that Jesus touches them. There's no doubt that they feel the moving of the Spirit. Oh, sometimes they come to our altars, weep and cry, shout. Sometimes they flop like a fish out of water. But they go right back out those doors, and they're still the same old man or the same old woman. You know why? They have reservations in their life. Oh, this man could have shouted before he made it to the pool and said, oh, praise God, I've been touched and anointed. But he could not prove that he'd been touched and anointed by Jesus until his eyes were opened and he come out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And my friend, that's when you become part of that chosen generation. That is when you become part of that royal priesthood, that peculiar people. It's when you come out of darkness into the marvelous light. You can sit down if you want to. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. Oh, I know we're living in a religious world. Everybody's got religion. Oh, say, yes, I went to that service. And the Spirit, I felt it. Jesus anointed me. Jesus touched me. Yes. But did you submit your will? You see, you have within your possession the ability to be born again or not to be born again. Oh, somebody said they used to tell on us years ago when I was just a little boy and my mom would take me to the Holiness Church and lay me down under the seat on a pallet. And you know why they put us under the seats? Because, amen, folks would get to shouting and running, and if you weren't under the seats, somebody might step on you. So they put you under the seats. That's right. When my mama used to go to church and take us to church, what a wonderful time it was when the power of God moved in those old-fashioned churches. But my uncle, my mother's brother, he was an alcoholic and a drunkard. And he'd come over and visit us. When he'd get in our house, he'd say to my mother, which was his sister, "Grace, sing Precious Memories for me." My mother would go to singing Precious Memories. Oh, yes, he felt the touch of the Lord. He started weeping. When she'd finished that one, he'd say, "Grace, saying, what a friend we have in Jesus." And my mother starts singing that song, and he'd sort of go really crying and weeping and finally end up kneeling. And my mother praying with him. But as soon as he'd get up and go back outside, he would go to that old jalopy car and open up that jug of whiskey and take him another shot. Touched. But not changed. Touched, but still in the darkness. Touched, but operating in the dark. Whenever you come to Jesus and obey Him and submit your will fully to Him, He brings you out of darkness into His marvelous light, and all things are passed away and all things are become new. And even some preachers, with their charisma, sure they can get up and preach. You say, "I know he must be all right. He's worldly all right. Amen. He goes to the places of the world all right. He likes the ball games and the bowling alleys, the skating rinks, and all those places. But he can really preach." So could Balaam's donkey. He was touched. He was anointed and preached a pretty good message. But when the Spirit of the Lord lifted off of him, he was still a donkey. You can be touched and not changed. Why don't you help me preach? I'm going to preach whether you help me or not, but I'm telling you, you can be touched but not changed. It's not enough just to lift your hands and feel goosebumps and jump and leap and jerk and go out and start living just like you've always lived. There has to be a change. These new converts, I was hearing some of them were praying in our altars last night. Thank God for you. But when you obey the Lord fully, He changes you. Years ago, Brother Collins, I was preaching at a place called Mockingbird Hill. You need Sister Rich to tell you about that place. Man, it was something else. Amen. You went so far on that old dirt gravel road. Amen. Out from Hobart, Oklahoma, went out on those old gravel roads. Finally, we come to a fork in the road. I didn't know which way to go. There's an Indian man standing there, an old Indian man. And I said, "Hey, sir, can you tell me where the church is called Mockingbird Hill?" He said, "You go down this road. You see big red barn and windmill. You know you on wrong road. You come back and take this road." Long, long ways around to tell me to take to the right instead of the left. That's what he told me. We forded two or three creeks and got over there. Got revival started. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost broke out. And we started having Holy Ghost revival. People were saved. People were sanctified. People were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning when our services would dismiss, they brought them in on a big 2.5-ton flatbed truck to the revival. One night they brought in a truckload of people to that revival out of the woods. There was a big man among them. When I gave the altar call, he came to the altar to pray. He sought the Lord. He kept praying until God not only touched him and anointed him, but God changed him. He started back home in that old flatbed truck. Now listen, nobody had preached against his tobacco. But he said the next night, he said, God did something for me here last night. Said, I've been smoking since I was 9 years old. Said, my mother used tobacco. My grandmother and grandfather used tobacco. And he said, my daddy and mama, all of them used tobacco. But he said, last night when I started across the creek, I pulled out my old pipe and loaded it up with tobacco and started to fire it up. And as we started across that creek, something said to me, Mister, since you found Jesus, you don't need that thing anymore. They said, I got that tobacco and pipe as we crossed that creek and I threw it as far as I could and said they had to make room in that truck for this big man to shout. Well, let me tell you something. When you really get changed, oh yes, when you really get changed, the world goes. Woo! Preach on, preacher man. Well, thank you. I'm going to do that. Hallelujah. I'm talking about touched and anointed, but not changed. His neighbor said, something's happened. He's not blind anymore. Finally, they called him in and reckoned with him and finally said to him, amen, how did you receive your sight? Well, quite simple. I met this man called Jesus. He spat on the ground and made clay out of the spittle, anointed my eyes and told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I obeyed him and went and washed, and I received my sight. And they said, give glory to God. This man is a sinner. He said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. Nobody has to tell you whenever you have been changed. Nobody has to tell you when you come out of the darkness. Oh, that's right. The Lord doesn't modify you nor customize you, but He changes you. God does not reform. He regenerates. He doesn't add to the old creation. He recreates. He makes a new man. He performs surgery and He takes out the heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh. And you get up from that altar, a new creation in Christ Jesus. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. I'm a believer. I hear that so much I get sick of it. So you're a believer, good. You and the devil are on the same base then, for the devil also believes and trembles, but he's still a devil. It takes more than just being a believer. You have to be transformed. You have to be changed. Not patched up. Oh, He doesn't patch up the old you. No, no, no. He brings you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Bible said in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You've got to be converted. And when you're converted, if you was a liar, you quit your lying. If you're an adulterer, you quit committing adultery. If you're a fornicator, you quit committing fornication. If you're hooked on pornography, you get rid of all the filth. If you're hooked on those old filthy movies on your VCR and the television, brother, you kick that stuff out. Come on and help me while I preach. Hallelujah. What some folks need is operation transformation. Amen. That's when the Lord changes you. I have not always been a preacher. There was a day I was a sinner. There was a day, and I don't talk very much about my sinful past. I'm really fearful of preachers who talk more about where they've been than where they're going. Amen. Who talk more about what they used to be than what they are now. Amen. But I used to be a sinner. I used to mess around in the world. Oh, yes, I used to like that old worldly music. But one day I met Jesus. And my will was submitted to His will. Say, yeah, you're probably pretty dumb too. I may have been pretty dumb, but I have my own business in the state of California. I had men working for me. I had one of the largest houses in the area where I live, sitting on top of the hill overlooking the beautiful Pacific Ocean. But one day I met a man who changed my life forever. And I moved Sister Rich out of that big house, put her in a car, and we started across the country preaching the gospel that Jesus really changes and saves. And we've been going almost 40 years, and I'm still not tired of telling the story. What it did for me back there 40 years ago, it'll do for you tonight. Go on all the way to full obedience to Christ. So many times, now hold on now. So many times, I have people come to my altars and they pray up to a certain point and then they stop. And they may come back and pray up to that point again. That's not good enough. Until you surrender all, you're going to operate in the darkness. Oh, until you are willing to continue in His Word. For Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Listen to me as I hurry and try to close this message quickly. But I'm glad that I came out of the darkness. I'm not in the darkness any longer. Oh yes, I can remember when, if Sister Rich wanted a new dress, I had the money to go get it. I didn't ask nobody if I wanted an ice cream cone. I had the money to go get it. I had nice clothes. I had the money when I bought me a brand new Pontiac. Was that 58, Sister Inch? Right in there somewhere. Amen, 57. I just paid cash for it. Yeah. But one day I got this higher calling. Got my life changed. And after a while, our clothes wore out. And I did like Brother Collins. I started getting some stuff at the Goodwill. Woo! I'm going to tell you, when you realize you're going to drop this old robe of flesh anyhow, and everything you possess in this world you're going to leave behind before very long. Amen. When you reach that place, my brothers and sisters, then after a while things of this world lose their value and you get your eyes set on heaven. So, Sister Rich has been willing to follow me all these years. Had her almost around the world telling people that Jesus changes lives. Whenever you can bring people out of darkness into the marvelous light, like the Choco Indians who wore no clothing, except the men wore just a small loincloth sometimes. The women only wore just a wrap that wrapped them from their waist down a little ways past their hips. That's all the clothes that they wore. When you can go there and preach out of this black Bible, and in 4 years and a little plus, see almost 500 of them come to Jesus and ask for clothes and start wearing clothes, and their lives are changed, and they throw their idols and their witchcraft and their voodoo aside and start praising the name of Jesus. You're not afraid to tell folks in America, amen, that Jesus does more than just touch you. He changes you. Woo! Oh. Brother Collins, in the last 4 years, I have personally taken over 400 new converts down and baptized them in water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I've seen them changed, totally changed. And when I... And it works here in the United States too. I was preaching in Tulare, California. Ever been there, brother? I was preaching in Tulare, California. Here come a man to the altar. He prayed for a little while. Looked like he was doing good. And all of a sudden he just stood up. I thought, oh no, he's going to quit praying before he gets complete victory. He just stood up to unload. He started taking cigarettes out of his front pocket. Amen. Snuff and chewing the back out of his back pocket. Amen. Reached in and took out some dice and a deck of cards. Laid them on the altar. Amen. Got out some stuff that looked like marijuana and laid it on the altar. And he looked up at me and said, "Preacher, if I'm going to get in this thing, I'm going to get in it right." That's the only way you can get in it, is getting it right. But the blood of Jesus washes from all sins. And there is still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood. They lose all their guilty stain. Come here, blind man. They kept trying to discourage him after his healing. But I can hear him say, "Hey, devil, if you was going to stop me, you should have stopped me before I got to the water. But now since I done got to the water and got my eyes open, you come too late. I've done come out of the darkness into the marvelous light." How many is out of the darkness tonight? Woo. My cousin is an FBI agent. God just spared him. His office was in the Oklahoma City FBI building there where they bombed. And he, on that morning that they bombed that building, his authorities had sent him to Nashville early that morning on a flight. Spared his life. But he used to work as just a regular policeman on a beat. And he told me years ago, he said, "Don, when I shine my spotlight down an alley..." And he said, "There's men there maybe working on a car or doing something." He said, "If they don't pay too much attention to my light, so I don't even bother to investigate. But said, when I shine that light down the alley and men try to get out of the light back into the darkness, it's time to investigate. And when I shine this gospel light down into this crowd tonight, and I see some kind of hiding back in the shadows, I want to tell you, when you come to Jesus, He changes your life. You quit slipping around in the darkness." Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you something, Mary. You may slip around in the darkness to meet Sam, but one of these days, Sam's wife's going to be around in the darkness too. Oh yeah. And everything that's done in the darkness is going to eventually come to the light. I'm glad I come to the light of the world. You can be seated. I'm closing here. But I'm so glad Jesus changes. Woo! I said He changes. Young people, He'll give you power to let your light shine in this darkened world. Now, some people don't have much light. I was on the plane the other day coming from Nashville. And being a frequent flyer that flies over 50,000 miles a year with American Airlines, I've got a platinum card. And lots of times I get to go up first class and pay their minimum fee to ride. So I was in first class coming from Nashville. I sat seated by a woman who was painting her fingernails. And the stewardess had to come back and tell her, "Hey, you've got to put up that fingernail polish. It's toxic. And you can't have it open here on the plane." In a little while, she looked over at me and said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I said, how did you know? And she said, I could just tell. She said, I'm a preacher's wife myself. I said, well, I couldn't tell. She was a wife of a well-known man in the charismatic movement, Dwight Thompson. And I was seated by his wife on the plane. I got to talk to her about holiness. Oh, let your light shine out. Let your light shine out. Let your light shine out. I didn't tell her I was a preacher. I just was seated there by her. And she said, you're a preacher, aren't you? So how do you know? She said, I could just tell. Can the world tell that you've been in contact with Jesus? Now, I don't have no diamonds. If I did have, I'd sell them and go back to the mission field and win me some more jewels. If you know what I mean. Amen. I don't have any diamonds, but they tell me there is a diamond that's called the sun diamond. They say you can expose that diamond to the sun and then bring it in out of the sun and still see rays of sunlight coming from that diamond. But they say after so long a time, if you want to see some more brilliance, you got to take that diamond back out and hold it up to the sun again. And that's why I go on my knees every morning in prayer. One of the first things I do, I want to get exposed to the sun, S-O-N. And I want my light to shine out in this dark and sinful world. Hallelujah. Boy, some of you, come on, say amen. At least that won't hurt you. Praise God to say amen. I'm telling you, when you come to Jesus, He changes you. He changes your music. He changes your appetites. Sure, I can remember when I used to get that old guitar I had, swing around my neck, I could sing, I'm walking the floor over you. But when I got saved and really sanctified, my song changed. Well, I better leave that alone. Give an altar call here. But I'm talking about coming out of darkness into the marvelous light. Oh, coming out of darkness. The sad part is we have some people who have came out of the darkness into the marvelous light of God. And now they've turned and they're leaving the light and going back into the darkness. Oh, how sad to one time have been in the light. Why do they do it? Here it is. And this is the condemnation. That men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Aren't you glad that Jesus changes you? I had a Ford pickup I really loved. I mean, it had that 351 engine in it. Run like a scared jackrabbit. That's a saying in Oklahoma. But anyhow, it would run. And I got it in a hailstorm. And a heavy one. It really saddened my heart. It was really beat up bad. My insurance company told me where to take it. Said they'd do a good job. And I went down, and after they fixed it, and I looked at it, and I thought, boy, they did a great job. I can't even see where those hailstones hit. It looks beautiful. A few days later, I had it parked out where the sun was hitting it just right, and I could see where every one of those hailstones had hit it. I go out and feel of it, and it's smooth. But I could still see it. The Lord don't just patch you up. Brother, He changes you. Ooh, would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Out of the darkness into the marvelous light. I now belong to a royal priesthood. I now belong to a holy nation. I'm now part of a peculiar people that shew forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. I love every one of you. And that's why I preach the truth to you. Amen. I said, that's why I preach the truth to you. Oh, any old compromising preacher, if he's getting into your pocketbook, amen, he'll tell you what you want to hear and a big bunch of lies. But I'm going to tell you the truth, because I'm going to soon go to the judgment and I'm going to answer to God for every message I preach from behind this pulpit. And I'm going to tell you, you cannot remain in your sins and follow Jesus. If you're really a Christian, you become Christ-like. Before Webster ever wrote his little book and said a Christian means to be Christ.